The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome, friend, to Grace in Focus. This is the podcast broadcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Today, Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling will be doing a question and answer episode. And today's question, what about assurance? Is it necessary to be assured or to have eternal security in order to receive eternal salvation? This is something that those who hold to free grace theology don't always agree about. But Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling will give you their thoughts in answer to this question. Make sure and go to our website, faithalone.org, and see all that is there for you. We modestly believe that it is one of the best websites for free grace theology resources. We'll say more about this website at the end of the program today, so stay tuned for that. And now here are Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling with today's question and answer.
Philippe, we have a couple of questions from a couple of guys named Steve. We'll call them Steve 1 and Steve 2 about assurance of salvation. And maybe we'll start with Steve 1 because he raises the general question.
Yeah, Steve 1 puts it this way. Is the position of GES that one must believe in the gift of eternal security before a person can be justified?
Okay, now this was a big issue at our 2006 conference. Zane Hodges and Bob Bryant both gave messages in which they said essentially what Steve 1 is asking about, that a person is not born again until they believe that by faith in Jesus they have everlasting life, that they have a secure relationship with God. Now, of course, they didn't mean you had to know the expression that Steve 1 uses, eternal security, or even everlasting life. What they had to know was that concept. They had to know that they were justified once for all, they were saved, once saved, always saved, that they were a person that was a part of God's forever family, they were guaranteed they were going to spend eternity with the Lord in his kingdom, something like
that. There's a number of different ways that we can express that belief, but we've come now to explain it theologically as being assurances of the essence of saving faith.
So what that would mean is, prior to a person being assured that they are secure in Christ, or that one person called it an irrevocable salvation, until we know that by faith in Jesus we have an irrevocable salvation, we've not yet believed John 3:16, right?
Yes. John 3:16 again simply says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So the focus comes, you believe for everlasting life.
Right. And in fact, Bob Bryant gave a message recently in which he talked about John 4:10, where Jesus, talking to the woman at the well, said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And he went on to explain the gift of God in verse 14 is everlasting life. And in verses 25 and 26, he went on to explain that he, the giver, is the Messiah. And she came to believe this and, in fact, went to witness to the townspeople.
Now, she puts it in a question saying, you know, there's one who knows everything about me. This wouldn't be the Christ, would it? Of course, the implication is that she believes that he is the Christ.
Right.
But inviting others to come in
and see. Yeah, because she's of a low reputation. If she came out and enthusiastically said, this is the Christ, they'd be more likely to reject her witness. But when she says, could this be the Christ? They're more open. And it turns out many of them came to faith in Christ. But guess what? They believed in the giver, the Messiah, for the gift, everlasting life. It's not enough to believe in the giver if you don't also believe in the gift.
Right. So the question comes in, what do we believe for? And we believe the giver for the gift.
Right. Now, there are some people in Christianity who believe in Jesus to give them the gift of initial salvation. And in order to keep the gift, they've got to work for it. They've got to persevere. And there are other people that say, well, I'm not sure Jesus gave me the gift or not, because salvation is only secure if I continue to believe and work until I die. And so either way, there are lots of people in Christianity that have never yet been assured of their eternal destiny.
Yes.
And what we would say is, let's evangelize those people because they're not yet born again. Mm-hmm. If they've never been sure, well, they need to believe in the giver for the gift.
Yes. Now, that's the question of Steve 1.
Okay.
And Steve 2, now, Steve 1 is more kind of a theological question and explanation. Steve 2 brings how that affects a person's emotionally
and spiritually.
The practical application of this. Steve 2, as a child, he simply believed in the giver for the gift, simply believed the promise of everlasting life. But then beginning in junior high school and then all through up to this day that he's 55 now, he's been exposed to what he clearly says are those who teach lordship salvation, that works are somehow connected to having a sense of eternal security.
And what did that do to his assurance?
And what it does is he says, all these years, my spirit has been disturbed. And he ends the letter by saying, please pray I find peace. Now, as a child, he had that peace. He simply believed in the giver for the gift. But then others, through this teaching, brought him emotional instability.
Boy, that is motivating. You know, the thing is, don't a lot of people say, if you're going through life unsure of your eternal destiny, that's a good thing? Don't they all say you need that to motivate you to live for God because you're scared to death of hell, and so you're going to work hard for God so that you can make sure you make it? Isn't that the way a lot of Arminians and Calvinists think?
Well, the only way they said that we can find peace is somehow I can see evidence and enough works, but then the point is it's never enough.
Right.
And at 55, this man still doesn't have peace because he was unhinged from the initial thing that he had believed, simply the promise for everlasting life.
And this can have a negative impact on the way we live. Think of the parable of the four soils. You've got the seed that falls among the thorns, and cares and riches and the pleasures of life choke out its effectiveness. So it's not that it's not productive, but it doesn't bring forth mature fruit. One of those cares could be a person who is born again, like Steve too, but loses his assurance, and now he's struggling with what he calls a lack of peace that's hindering his walk with Christ.
Yes, we certainly can pray for him, but the point is, he just needs to go back to as a child.
Right.
You know, and Jesus, of course, says, unless you receive me as a child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
But it's just that simple childhood belief that he had was sufficient.
And he needs to go to the scriptures, particularly the Gospel of John, and as he reads a chapter each day, pray about it. Lord, is it really that simple? And at some point, it's going to click in. The Holy Spirit is going to restore his assurance. And for Steve 1, which it sounds like Steve 1 is saying he doesn't agree that assurance is of the essence, all you need to believe is that the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who spoke in Scripture, that he's the giver, and that by faith in him, I get the gift of everlasting life. But how do I get to believe that? I've never met a person who believed that without believing that Jesus died on the cross for his sins, rose bodily from the dead, and is the Son of God. Now, I have met people who thought he was the Son of God, but didn't think he was God. But the question is, what does a person need to believe John 3:16? Well, for most of us, it's believing not only that Jesus died and rose again, but that he's God in the flesh.
Now, he's the one that has authority to make the promise,
right,
to follow through and indeed be the giver.
In fact, I would say most people probably have to be Trinitarian to believe that. There are people who believe there's one God and one person, and that one person has three names. But I would say, if a person had that heretical view, they'd still be born again if they believed in the gift and the giver. But the issue is not so much, can I somehow believe in the gift from the giver without believing A, B, or C? The question is, can I get eternal life without believing in either the gift or the giver? No, I have to believe both of them. Let's say I believe the everlasting life is true, and I get it if I live a good life. No. If I believe everlasting life is true, but I get it by being a good Buddhist. No. I get it by faith in someone other than Jesus. No. And it's not enough to believe in the giver without believing in the gift. If you say, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe I have everlasting life. Well, this comes back to the old evangelism explosion question. If you were to die and God said, well, I should let you into heaven, what would you say? Well, if they give some works answer, we go, wrong. It's got to be because Jesus said, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I believe in him. I have everlasting life.
And so that's the starting point, just that simplicity.
Yeah.
Just a starting point. But then, of course, we go on and grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. And that's perhaps where we can then more clearly understand, you know, the God-man, the hypostatic union, and all of that as we grow.
Philippe, it's interesting you mentioned the hypostatic union because I just written a new book, and it's called The Gospel is Still Under Siege. It should be coming out around the time this show airs. In this book, I have an appendix where I talk about, do you need to believe in the deity of Christ to be saved, to be born again? My answer is basically, logically, you do. But not everyone's logical, and not everyone understands everything. And I pointed out that when we were at Dallas Seminary, there's probably very few, if any of us, would have passed the final exam on Christology, the person of Christ, before we took the class. We didn't know what the hypostatic union is, at least I didn't. In fact, I went back, I had Dr. Craig Blazing, and I went back and found one of my exams, and I put 10 study questions at the back of the appendix, and I said, see if you can pass this. And I asked questions about things that they're going to have to look up. In fact, if you're listening now and you say, what's the hypostatic union? Well, check it out. Look it up in Scripture. But the point is, yes, assurance of the essence of saving faith is true. We must believe in the giver, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the gift, which is everlasting life that can never be lost. And that's what we call good news.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks so much, y'all. And remember,
keep grace in focus.
Bob Wilkins' book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance, is available right now at 50% discount to Grace and Focus listeners at faithalone.org. Get half price through May 30th, 2023, when you use the discount code word REPENT. That's at faithalone.org. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options is our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or one of the guests here on the program? Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, we return to the Romans series that Catherine Wright and Ken Yates are doing. Romans chapter 6. Please join us for the next episode of Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society reminding you to always keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.